Revelation chapter 1 this morning. When you find it, go ahead and stand, please, if you're able to. Now, I'm not going to get, I have a habit of doing this most of the time. I'm not going to give you the title till the very end. Now listen, when we get to the title, I did the same thing at Grandma Ross's funeral. I've done the same thing in the chapel before and here a few times before. When I get to the title, it's over. So when I say, here's the title, I mean, it's you can get your car keys out, put your shoes on, put your nail clippers away, put your phones away, put up your shopping list, and get ready to go. But between now and then is about 30 to 35 minutes worth. So long introduction, literally the message is going to be about 30 seconds, all right? And so I'm going to try to preach short this morning, all right? Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Y'all see that end of that word there, verse 2? And all things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Look down at verse number 12. The Bible says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Y'all see those couple of phrases there. Verse 17 now, I'm trying to emphasize this morning the part that I need you to focus in on. Verse 17 now, Bible says this, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm going to preach this morning on a title that I'm not going to tell you until the end. And so you'll just have to wonder about that for a little bit, all right? Let's pray, all right? Lord, we come to you today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, I've get around a little bit. Lord, I just enjoy church. I enjoy being around God's people. I enjoy preaching, Lord, in my pulpit at Victory. Lord, I'm mostly comfortable there. Lord, still there's a little bit of nerves every time I walk into the pulpit anywhere. Lord, certainly there's some nerves this morning, Lord. And Lord, I appreciate that. Lord, I never want to walk into the pulpit, Lord, where I think I've got this. I think that I've got everything under control. Lord, that's just not the case. Lord, I need you this morning. I need your help. I need your spirit. I need your power. Lord, I need you to speak to the hearts this morning. I can speak to the ears. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to the hearts. Lord, if there's someone today that does not know that when they die, they're going to heaven, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit power would convict them this morning. And Lord, that during the invitation time, Lord, they'd put their faith and trust in you as their Savior. Lord, that's the goal this morning. Beyond that then, Lord, for Christians, Lord, I pray that you would motivate us, Lord, in this work of getting out and sharing the gospel with the lost. And Lord, I pray that you use the message this morning in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. I want you to keep your Bibles open. Everybody keep your Bible open. Keep it on your lap. I want you to follow along. I'm going to show you, kind of lay a Bible foundation here at the beginning, and I want to walk you down through a few passages here in Revelation. But I want you to keep your Bible handy, and when I say look at a verse, I want you to see the verse, okay, because it's very important. 33 verses in the book of Revelation have the words, I saw in them. We read a couple of moments ago from Revelation chapter 1. Revelation to me is a very interesting book. It is a widely studied and widely scrutinized book. Revelation is the book of the Bible that has made the most money as far as people writing about that book in the world, people using it for monetary purposes. There was an entire series years ago called the Left Behind series that got a lot of traction and went all over the world. And I don't care what you know about that or what you think about it. That's not the message this morning. I'm not blasting the Left Behind series, all right? Although I probably should. amen. But anyway, the book of Revelation, to me, just as a pastor and a Christian that has read and studied it several times, is an amazing book. I mean, it's intriguing, it's unusual, it's inspiring, it's motivating, it's convicting. To the Christian, it's encouraging. Amen. To the unsaved person, listen, folks, it's a cause of warning and concern and can actually just downright scare you. But it's just a unique book. I believe it's unique for a couple of reasons. It's the book of the Bible that contains the most, and I want you to listen carefully, don't miss this. It contains the most unfulfilled prophecy of any other book in the Bible. And you all understand that a lot of the Bible was prophecy in its time, at one time. Here's an example. It was prophesied long before Bethlehem that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and that he would be the Messiah of the world. By the way, that prophecy was fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a prophecy that the Son of God would die on a cross. That prophecy was fulfilled. Throughout the Bible, there are prophecies, but Revelation contains the most unfulfilled prophecy of all the books of the Bible. That's why people today hold prophecy revivals and prophecy meetings and such. That's why there's a lot of interest still and intrigue still into the book of Revelation, because it contains things that are still to happen in the future. People want to know what's going to happen in the future, and people want to hear about that. Now listen very carefully, folks, to this next statement, and don't miss this. In the Bible, prophecy always becomes history. Prophecy always becomes history. In other words, what God has said will happen is going to happen. You can take it to the bank. The prophecy in the Word of God always becomes history. When God says something, He means it. He means what He says and says what He means. God said a virgin would conceive. The Virgin Mary conceived and bore Jesus Christ. God said a Son of God would die on the cross. The Son of God died on the cross. God said Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Messiah was born in Bethlehem. God said they would cast lots for His garment. They cast lots for His garment. God said not a bone would be broken. Not a bone was broken, and all the way down through. Prophecy always becomes history. Now that fact is interesting, because when you come to Revelation chapter 4, everything after Revelation chapter 4 is things that are still to happen. It is still unfulfilled prophecy, but if we know that Bible prophecy always becomes history, and we look at Revelation chapter 4 through verse number, or chapter 22, you can look at that and go, man, everything that God says is going to happen, is going to happen. Prophecy always becomes history. And so all we're doing, folks, is just waiting a little time until the rest of that book happens, right? There's something interesting also that I need you to understand, not just that prophecy always becomes history, but there's one other thing that I need you to understand before I actually get into the message this morning, and that is simply this, that the way that the book of Revelation was given was unlike any of the other books in the Bible. All the other books in the Bible, God spoke through His Spirit to holy men of God, and they penned down what the Spirit of God told them to write down. That's how it happened. God did something a little bit different, though, with the book of Revelation and John than He did all the other books of the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit of God told John the words to pin down. However, the Holy Spirit of God did not just tell him what to write down. The Holy Spirit also showed him what was going to happen and told him to write that down. Now, listen very carefully. How in the world, if you think about this, John lived 2,000 years ago. So how could John see things 2,000 years ago that in 2020 America are still to not take place yet? How could John 2,000 years ago see things that are at least in 2020 years or so later have still not happened? How could he see those things? Well, I'm not that smart. All I can tell you is that God and His Spirit supernaturally allowed John to see into the future the things that God knows is going to happen. Now listen very carefully, folks, and probably the best way that I could explain that is to say this, that God is not a God of past, present, and future. God is not an I was God, I am God, and I will be God. God is an I am God. God, listen, folks, does not dwell in the past or the present or the future. God dwells in eternity. He has always been and He always will be. God does not operate on our timetable. He is an I am God, okay? And you all understand that. God inhabits eternity. So God spoke to John and told John, John, I'm going to let you see the things that are going to happen in the end of time. John then spent literally from chapter 4 all the way through towards the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22, he wrote down what God allowed him to see, and the Spirit of God told him to write. Now, let me show you that this is true, and this is where I want you to get your Bibles. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Now, pay attention here for about the next 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, okay? I want everyone looking in a Bible right now. If you don't have a Bible on your lap, you know, elbow somebody, take theirs away, and look. No, I'm just kidding, all right? Look at a Bible, all right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says this, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in prison on the Isle of Patmos because of his faith in preaching and teaching in Jesus Christ. Verse 10, now watch this. Notice what happens. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Watch verse 11 now and don't miss this. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Y'all see that? Now, turn to Revelation chapter 22, last chapter in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Everybody good so far? John is not just writing down what the Spirit of God told him. John is going to write down what the Spirit of God showed him and told him. It's a little different than the rest of the books, okay? You're going to Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 6. Revelation 22, verse 6. Bible says this, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Watch verse number 8 now. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. All right, so you see there in verse number 8, John saw these things and heard them. All right, now go back to Revelation chapter 4. Pretty good? Revelation chapter 4, all right? I promise you, once we get going here in a second, we'll get going here in a second, all right? Revelation chapter 4, and stick with me here, about another 2 minutes, all right? Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says this in verse number 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. You see that verse, Revelation 4, 4? Look at Revelation chapter 5, 1. And I saw. Revelation 5, 2. And I saw. Revelation 6, verse number 1. And I saw. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2. And I saw. Are you guys starting to see a pattern here? All right. Revelation 6 and verse 9. And I saw. Now, you can try to keep up if you want to, but I can tell you in about the next 30 seconds, you're not going to be able to keep up. Revelation chapter 7, 1. Revelation chapter 7, 2. Revelation chapter 8, 2. Revelation chapter 9, 1. Revelation chapter 9, 17. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Revelation chapter 10, verse 5. Revelation chapter 13, 2. 13, 3. 14, 6. 15, 1. 15, 2. 16, 13, 17, 3, 17, 6, 17, 6 a second time, 18, 1, 19, 11, 19, 17, 19, 19, 21, 24, 20, 11, 20, 12, 21, 1, and 21, 22 all say, and I quote, and I saw. 33 times through the book of Revelation it says, and I saw. And so if you're counting 33 times, God did not just tell John what to write. God showed John the things that were happening and going to happen and then told John to write about those things. So John was allowed by God the chance to supernaturally see the end time events take place. Now, you're probably asking a question, Pastor Claney, why did you just do all that? All right, well, I'm glad you asked. John saw many different things that we read about in the book of Revelation, all right? By the way, he saw some insane things. He saw some exciting things. He saw some sobering things. He saw some, I'm talking apocalyptic, nightmarish type of things. When you start to look at the demonic beings that came out of the bottomless, I mean, listen, it's crazy some of the stuff he saw. But listen, folks, I want to show you two things this morning that John saw, and don't miss this. So I want you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 20. Let me tell you this, and I don't know how long I'm supposed to go this morning. I can just tell you right now, I'm going to go as long as I need to go. Most of the time when I preach, it's 35 minutes or 40 minutes. It'll probably be close to that, maybe a few minutes longer. I'm not going to preach an hour or longer like somebody else around here that I know some dumbness does, all right? I'm just kidding. Amen. Let me just tell you this. The first thing that I'm going to show you here is not preached about in 2020 like it needs to be preached about. There's a dearth and a famine in America for the preaching of this first subject. Everyone in America needs to hear the topic, the preaching on this first subject like we're going to do this morning. Chuck Schumer needs to hear it. Nancy Pelosi needs to hear it. Did I say that out loud? That was supposed to be a thought. My bad. Sorry. Bless me, Father. No, I'm just kidding, all right? Antifa and the BLM movement needs to hear this preaching. Congress needs to hear it. And by the way, we need to hear it. Every anti-God, Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, sin-persecuting, church-despising heathen needs to hear this first point. What did John see, Pastor Kalani, that you want to show us this morning? Number one, John saw every unsaved person cast into the lake of fire. He didn't just hear about it. He saw it. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. The Bible says this, and I, come on, help me out, church. And I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. He didn't hear about it. He saw it. Verse 15, and whosoever, he saw this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look up here and listen, folks. John from the Isle of Patmos saw every unsaved person cast into the lake of fire. Every single Christ rejecter and reprobate and atheist who claims that God is not alive and liar who claims that they've been saved but they deep down inside their heart know that they're lost. Every person who trusted in religion and good works and baptism and church membership to save them but did not trust in Jesus Christ. Every person, listen folks, who tried to be a good person and banked on their good works outweighing their bad works. Every single one of them, John saw them cast into the lake of fire. Every single person who had rejected the salvation that Jesus offers them, 1 second after they die, they will be in hell forever. And later on, then listen, folks, God will cast them into the lake of fire. And John saw it happen. He saw every unsaved person cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. He saw them as they plunged screaming and wailing into that lake of fire. He saw them as they plunged down into that fire and their bodies were engulfed in flames. Verse number 11 tells us that he supernaturally was allowed to watch this event happen. Think about that. As he watches these millions of unsaved people fall into the lake of fire, he begins to notice something about it. He begins to notice that these people are not consumed by that lake of fire. They're not consumed by the flames. Ordinarily, when a fire begins and touches an object, it's not very long before that fire completely consumes and engulfs and destroys that object. I got a cousin of mine. His name is Matthew. Matt, he lives in Paducah, Kentucky, western Kentucky by the Mississippi River. He was out riding he's got a Polaris Ranger side-by-side. He was out riding his Polaris Ranger side-by-side on this past Thursday night, and the thing caught on fire and burnt to the ground. I saw pictures of it, got them on my phone. crazy. And literally, folks, this, you know, nice side-by-side, literally in about 15 minutes, went from running perfect to torched completely, everything on the ground and just a metal frame and shell there. Listen very carefully, folks. Here in Revelation, John did not see a consuming fire. He saw a perpetual fire. God says this about hell and the lake of fire in Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Verse 46, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He repeats it again in verse number 48. Three times here in six verses, God says that hell's fire will never, shall never be quenched. Pastor Clanny, what is hell going to be like for these unsaved Christ rejecters, folks? If I can just understate it, hell's going to be an awful place. Try to imagine that for every waking moment throughout eternity, your body with the most painful sunburn ever, and on top of that, the pain of your whole body scalded with boiling water. Add to this the agony of bodily movement and scorching, stretched skin. The skin stretches and countless daggers of pain flash through your body. You want to hold still, but the burning from the flames in a lake of fire will not allow it. The bubbling brimstone makes you scream. Your face, neck, chest, arms, legs, every square inch of your being is on fire. Your hands and your feet blister while you gnaw on your tongue for some relief, trying to ease the torment. Your throat is raw from the screaming and the wailing. Spasms of anguish drop into the molten lava. You go under the surface of the lake of fire, once again gnashing your teeth and trying to close your mouth and trying to close your nose because the lava is running in. The burning brimstone flows into your body. You're now on fire inside and outside. Lava, red hot and smoking, flowing into your ears as your eyes try to focus on the endless, everlasting, permanent, perpetual dwelling place of total torment and fire. You look and you scream in terror as you see the worms now have totally covered your body. You try to beat them off and shake them off and flick them off, but to no avail. You scream out in fright. The worms are crawling on you and they're crawling in you. You cry out like the rich man did, "Water! I need some water!" But no one listens. You want a silence, you want silence, and you want peace, and you want calm, but the demonic hordes of hell swirl around you, taunting you, and jeering you, and tormenting you. You fall into the bubbling lake while swallowing more burning slime. The odor of fire melting flesh nauseates you. Something or someone grabs you in terror. You both begin to gnash on each other in fear. You push the person away from you and scream in terror. Once again, a scream escapes your mouth. "I need some water, just a drop." But no drop comes. You cry out for help, but no one helps. I'm going to ask you this morning, church, listen carefully. Where are all the parties now? Where's all the rebellion now? Listen very carefully, folks. Where's the disobedience and the liquor and the drugs and the immorality and the fun nights of sin and the dancing and the parties? Where are the dark taverns and the gloomy places that you once thought were fun? Where is Hollywood and the rock music crowd now? Then the memories begin to come while you're in the lake of fire. Memories of when that preacher preached in church about Jesus and about the cross of Calvary, but you sat there and you rejected it. Memories of when you heard church members on Easter Sunday morning sing songs about Jesus and about up from the grave he arose and because he lives, and amazing grace, how sweet the sound, but you sat there and you rejected it. Memories of a grandma praying for you and begging God for you to be saved, but you wouldn't listen, and the Spirit of God convicting you, you rejected it. Memories of a soul winner coming by your door, or a bus captain coming by your door and sharing with you Christ, but you turned them away with excuse after excuse after excuse. "Hey God, I repent now! I want to be saved! I remember them warning me about this place called hell, and I don't want to spend eternity here. I trust Christ now. I believe in him." But it's too late. "I want to be saved." But you can't be saved now. Surely this lasts just for a few days or a few weeks, but now days and weeks pass as you're in the lake of fire. Surely it only lasts for a few months or a few years, but a few months pass and a few years pass and you're still in the lake of fire. All of a sudden it dawns on you that you are to spend eternity in a lake of fire, and you let out one last scream, "No!" But that's your fate. And by the way, friend, that is the reality of hell today. It's not some party like some of these bozos today like to claim it is. Listen, by the way, listen very carefully, folks. I don't care what Hollywood portrays it as. I don't care what you think it is. That is what it is this morning. That's what the Bible teaches. By the way, the reason why preachers don't preach on hell is because too many Christians are living like it. Christians have hell on our TVs and hell on our radios and hell on their computer screens and hell on our cell phones and hell on our iPods and hell in their homes and hell in their minds and hell in their hearts, and they stop preaching it because Christians and pastors and preachers are living it. But I got news for you, folks. We need preaching on hell today to warn us about the danger that is to come. And I'm telling you, folks, if you're here this morning and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you do not know for sure this morning, 100% sure that you are on your way to a devil's, or that you're on your way to heaven, you're going to spend eternity in the devil's hell. And you need to get saved today. But listen very carefully, folks, here's the good news. Here's the good news. That was Revelation chapter 20. How many chapters in Revelation? Aren't you glad Revelation chapter 20 is not the last chapter? Yeah, man. Come on, folks. First of all, John saw every unsaved person cast into the lake of fire, but that is not all that John saw. Take your Bible just a chapter over and look at Revelation chapter 21. We may go a little bit Baptist this morning. Revelation chapter 21. Look at it, Revelation 21. He didn't just see the events of Revelation chapter 20. He also saw the events of Revelation chapter 21. And I, Revelation 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his God, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Thank God this is in the Bible, folks. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me in verse 6, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Skip down to verse number 22 now. Verse number 22, Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The first thing that John saw was every unsaved person cast into the lake of fire. What else did John see, Pastor Clanning? Number two, John saw every single saved person ushered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. Woo! Come on, all right? Listen very carefully, folks. The Bible goes on to talk about here how God is going to be our God, and we're going to get to live in heaven with him. No more tears or sadness or heartache or pain. Can I tell you something this morning, folks? I am thankful that I am a child of God. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. I am sanctified. I'm justified. I'm glorified. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my comforter. The Bible's my book. Heaven is my home. The rapture is my hope. Are you excited that you're saved this morning, folks? Thank God for it, all right? Because John did not just see every unsaved person cast into the lake of fire. He saw every saved person ushered into heaven for all of eternity with a hallelujah cry. That means this, folks. You know what? If you're saved and you've trusted Jesus Christ, that means this. You ain't never going to touch hell. Come on, you ain't never going to touch hell. Hey, listen, folks, that means this. You can lay your head on your pillow tonight, and you can have the peace that passes all understanding. You ain't got to worry about whether or not you're going to go to hell, folks, if you trusted Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, you are saved, and you're sealed, and you're secured by the Spirit of God. And one of these days, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you will be in heaven for all of eternity. We had a lady, one of our bus moms, she came to church on Wednesday night, and my wife has been talking with her back and forth, and on Monday, we were actually down in Kentucky for Labor Day, and we spent a couple hours down there with my parents, and that morning, this lady texted my wife and said she wanted to make her relationship with God real, and so my wife was texting her back and forth. She didn't have minutes on her phone, so she was texting her. And so Hannah took a picture of our church track. At the top, it says, if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? And then it goes down through the two pages or the two little leaves there on the inside of that. It goes down through the plan of salvation. And Hannah sent her that picture. And she sent her that picture and said, hey, listen, this tells you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home and you can begin to make your relationship with God real. Later on that night, she trusted Christ reading that gospel track. She came to church on Wednesday night, and we had set it up where we would have a meeting. My wife and I met with her Wednesday night after church. And one of the first things, in fact, Wednesday night, I had actually mentioned in the message that eternal security, the fact that once saved, always saved, which, by the way, is Bible. And so she has been attending a couple of churches that are preaching a work salvation, which, by the way, folks, if you believe in work salvation, then you don't believe in eternal security. So she said, listen, you know, there's a whole lot that I agreed with tonight, but I just don't believe in eternal security. And so I said, well, let's just look at the Bible for a few minutes. And we took her down through the Bible and showed her. And listen, folks, you know what? I thank God this morning that, listen, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as a 12-year-old boy, a couple of these boys here told me, when I think Ethan, is there Ethan? No, what's your name? Raven, that's right. Raven told me that he is 11, almost 12. When I was 12, Raven, that is the age that I was when I put my faith and trust in Christ. And listen very carefully, since that day, I've been saved and on my way to heaven. And listen very carefully, folks, I've never lost my salvation. Never had it taken away. God's not an Indian giver. I'm saved. Listen very carefully, folks, I want to ask you one question, and the question that I ask you this morning is the message. It's the title. So ladies, put your shoes on. The first thing that John saw was every single unsaved person cast into the lake of fire. The second thing he saw was every saved person ushered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. Let me ask you one question. What did John see happen to you? Not your mama, not your dad, not your brother, your sister. I don't care what everybody else in the church thinks. I don't care what man thinks about it. I don't care how long you've been coming to this church. I don't care. Listen, when I'm done, I'm going back over to Victory. This is the message for this morning. What did John see happen to you? Because he saw it. And by the way, listen very carefully, folks. You know what? If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then John saw supernaturally 2,000 years ago into the future, he saw you cast into the lake of fire. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ supernaturally allowed John to see you ushered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. But here's the thing, folks, here's the thing. You're here this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you've rejected him up until this point, you can change that equation right now. One simple choice, to humble yourself before God, repent of your sin, and trust Christ for salvation.